going to the first chapter of John, and then Matthew 25, if you want to make a note. And if we have time, we'll go to John chapter 10. But two verses from the first chapter of John. 29 and 30. This is speaking of John the Baptist. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." You notice in 29 that Jesus is called the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. One thing that was made aware to me again just a few days ago, as long as we're humans, there's going to be sin. We can get extra holy and I think as if we don't sin, but I'm afraid we do. But anyhow, there's a reason he's called the Lamb of God. And back in the Old Testament, the New Testament is hid in the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, when a person would sin, he would take a lamb and he'd go to the altar and he would put his hand on the head of the lamb and confess his sin. And what happened was there would be a transference of the sin from the individual to the lamb. And then they killed the lamb. And that way, the man walked away without the sin anymore. It was transferred. And that's basically what happened. When Jesus went to the cross, he gave his life. He purposely died on that cross as the Lamb. All of our sins was transferred to him, and he paid the price for our sins, just like the lamb did for the individual that brought it. He became the lamb that took all of our sin. So why do we want to hold on to those things? He took them. He said, "I'll be the sin in your place." And in that sense, he became the Lamb of God. That is just outstanding as far as I'm concerned. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. We understand, I think, rather thoroughly what the Lamb represents. Beginning with 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats." Now, the sheep represents those who are becoming as the Lord. They're the ones, they're docile. The goats are the goats like to get up on a high embankment. We had a farm out near, not far from Paxfield at one time. And on that farm, the farmer had a big pile of manure. And those goats would climb up that hill and they wanted to get on the very top of the mountain of manure. One would get up there, and the next thing you know, another goat is knocking him off to get to high place. The goats, I think everybody understands what a goat is. Goat likes to be the king of the mountain, so to speak. And the goat, it's like he can almost smell death. and he recoils and gets away from it as much as he can. And he likes to be recognized and haughty. A lamb, on the other hand, the sheep is docile and loves to be loved and hangs around the shepherd and doesn't have a problem. So what I'm saying is that both the sheep and the goats represent Christians, but different kinds of Christians. The sheep Christians are those who are not afraid to die out to self, to become as he is, and they love the master. The goats, on the other hand, they want to be king of the mountain. And then in verse 33, it says, he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. We don't want to be on his left hand. We want to be on his right hand. 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the sheep Christians, because of the way they have been, the way they have acted, loved, and were cared for, they get to inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for them. In verse 35, he begins to explain why. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous, or the sheep Christians on the right hand, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Stop and think about that. How we relate to each other is counted as relating to the Lord. Inasmuch as you've done it unto these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then in 41, then shall he say unto them on the left side, the goat Christians, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, or did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these, least of these, you did it not to me. Boy, that's something to think about. How we relate to each other determines how we relate to the Lord. He's in you. And I have to realize that and relate to you as I'm relating to Him in you and to you. He's in you. So I'm going to be judged according to how I relate to you. Is that what it's saying? I believe so. And in 46, speaking about these goat Christians, he says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. All right, one more. John chapter 10. We're dealing with sheep and goats, Christians. John chapter 10, And this is Jesus speaking. Verily, verily. It's the same thing as saying, of a truth, what I'm speaking to you is truth. I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold. What is the sheepfold? It's those sheep. It's those Christians that are becoming as the Lord. He that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. You can't get into the sheepfold. Sheepfold is where all those good sheep are. All those good Christians that are becoming as the Lord. They're in there. And you can't get in there in any other way. The same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. What door is that? There's a door, and you can't get in that group sheep unless you're going through the door. And verse 7 tells you what the door is. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You don't get in unless you go in through him. How do you go in through the door, which is Christ? Through your relationship with him. That's how you get in. All right, back up to verse 3. 2 and 3. He that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens. See, there's someone that has to open that door for you. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The door has to be open, and the sheep hear his voice. We have to get to the place where we can hear the voice of the Lord. Where's that found? My favorite scripture on the voice. Exodus 19, isn't it? 5. Read it.
Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed.
All throughout the scriptures it says basically the same thing. It talks about hearing his voice. Not very often do you find where it says, obey what I say. But hear my voice and obey my voice. And the reason that it does that is because his voice is not like you and I talking here and we hear each other's speech. To hear his voice, you've got to hear it inside. Not through these ears, but through the hearing ability of your heart and of your spirit. And so that's what he means when he says, the sheep hear his voice. They're able to relate to his voice with their heart. The Lord's heart and their heart tends to beat together. You'll discover when you really hear his voice, you're hearing a silent voice. A voice that's not heard with sound as we normally think of it. And that's the way God speaks. He doesn't speak to these ears here. He speaks to your spirit. And so with your spirit, you have to understand and to hear his voice. All right, to him the porter opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Listen, now if you think back to the Old Testament beginning in Genesis, what did God do? He gives them a new name. And you get to the book of Revelation and you find out that for those who are open to him and to receive him, he gives them a new name. One of the churches in chapter 2 or 3, I can't remember now which one it is, but he gives them a new name. And he got a new name for me. He gives each one of us a new name. And that new name is very, very important. But we have to learn what that new name is. So in verse 3, the sheep that hear his voice, he calls his own sheep by name, by the name that he gives them, and he leads them. Now, I don't know about anybody else. I want to be led by the Lord. Too many, many times during my lifetime, I've been led by feelings. I've been led by wants and unwants. Been led by the wrong thing. I want to be led by Him. Well, this is what you have to do to be led by the Lord. He's going to lead us out of this place where we've been missing it, but we have to learn to hear His voice, and we have to learn to hear Him when He calls us by name, and then He leads us out. Verse 4, and when He puts forth His own sheep, why does it say when He puts forth His own sheep? Because there's other sheep that are not His. When He puts forth His own sheep, He goes before them. See, He goes before us, and He says, y'all just walk along with me here. I'm going to lead you and take you where you need to go. He goes before them, and what happens? The sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. They have learned the voice of the Lord when they're not hearing a sound, but they hear with their spirit. Now, I emphasize this simply because it's not real easy to learn to hear with your spirit. It's very natural to hear with these ears on the side of your head, but our spirit has to come alive to the Lord. And when it does, we'll begin to hear with our spirit. And when we hear with our spirit, what are we going to hear? That still, small voice that cannot be heard in any other way. And verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow. Everybody follows something. Everybody is led by something. Usually, they're led by feelings they shouldn't have, wants that they don't necessarily need. We're led by something. And we want to get to the place that we don't know the voice of those strangers. That strange voice that has you doing things you know you shouldn't do. I know because I've been there, stumbling over myself sometimes. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Ain't gonna be led by those strangers. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. How about you? Do you understand them? Lord, help us. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, if you want to be in the right sheepfold, the right kind of Christian, you have to go in through the door that gets there, and that's Christ. And by the way, Christ is not religion. Anybody can be religious, but just anybody doesn't know the Lord and walk with Him. We've got thousands of churches that are religious. I am the door of the sheep, in verse 7 and in verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You don't want to be led astray. And I'm telling you, there will be voices. These thieves and robbers will be voices in you to get you to do things, go places, say things, and if you're not careful, you'll be following after those things, listening to the voices of strangers. But these sheep he's talking about are not going to hear them. Then in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we just read in Matthew chapter 25, that the sheep enter into the kingdom of God. What happened to the goats? Verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. There will be times when someone or something, some particular circumstance, because I'm telling you, if you're really interested in walking with God and becoming what you can be in Him, most Christians, the devil will never bother them because they're not making any advancement. But when you start making some advancement in the Lord, He's going to get upset about that, and He's going to try to do everything He can to get you off guard and to lead you away and to stop you from advancing. And that's what it's talking about when it says the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. And so almost always when that thief comes to destroy and to kill, it'll look so righteous and right on. It'll look so true and real. That's how Satan deceives. But then he says, I am come, in the bottom half of verse 10, that they might have life and that they might have it just a little bit. No, more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That good shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He did give His life for us if we're willing to become sheep.